The second time it happened, I got a phone call while I was working in my lab at Stanford. I'd had to separate two of my mice because they were ripping each other to bits in that shoebox of a home we kept them in. I found a piece of flesh in one corner of the box, but I couldn't tell which mouse it came from at first. Both were bleeding and frenzied, scurrying away from me when I tried to grab them, even though there was nowhere to run.
Look, Gifty, she hasn't been to church in nearly a month. I've been calling the house, but she won't pick up. I go by sometimes and make sure she's got food and everything, but I think it's happening again.
I didn't say anything. The mice had calmed down considerably, but I was still shaken by the sight of them and worried about my research. Worried about everything.
Gifty?
Pastor John said. She should come stay with me. I'm not sure how the pastor got my mother on the plane. When I picked her up at SFO, she looked completely vacant, her body limp. I imagined Pastor John folding her up the way you would a jumpsuit, arms crossed about the chest in an X, legs pulled up to meet them, then tucking her safely into a suitcase, complete with a "Handle with Care" sticker, before passing her off to the flight attendant. I gave her a stiff hug, and she shrank from my touch. I took a deep breath. "Did you check a bag?" I asked.
"Dabby,"
she said. "Okay, no bags. Great, we can go straight to the car." The saccharine cheeriness of my voice annoyed me so much I bit my tongue in an attempt to bite it back. I felt a prick of blood and sucked it away. She followed me to my Prius. Under better circumstances, she would have made fun of my car, an oddity to her after years of Alabama pickup trucks and SUVs.
"Gifty, my bleeding heart,"
she sometimes called me. I don't know where she'd picked up the phrase, but I figured it was probably used derogatorily by Pastor John and the various TV preachers she liked to watch while she cooked to describe people who, like me, had defected from Alabama to live among the sinners of the world, presumably because the excessive bleeding of our hearts made us too weak to tough it out among the hardy, the chosen of Christ in the Bible Belt. She loved Billy Graham, who said things like, "A real Christian is the one who can give his pet parrot to the town gossip."
Cruel, I thought when I was a child, to give away your pet parrot.
The funny thing about the phrases that my mom picked up is that she always got them a little wrong. It was her bleeding heart, not a bleeding heart. It's a crime shame, not a crying shame. She had a little southern accent that tinted her Ghanaian one. It made me think of my friend Anne, whose hair was brown, except on some days when the sunlight touched her just so, and suddenly you saw red. In the car, my mother stared out of the passenger side window, quiet as a church mouse. I tried to imagine the scenery the way she might be seeing it. When I'd first arrived in California, everything had looked so beautiful to me. Even the grass, yellowed, scorched from the sun and the seemingly endless drought, had looked otherworldly. This must be Mars, I thought, because how could this be America too? I pictured the drab green pastures of my childhood, the small hills we called mountains. The vastness of this Western landscape overwhelmed me. I'd come to California because I wanted to get lost, to find. In college, I'd read Walden because a boy I found beautiful found the book beautiful. I understood nothing, but highlighted everything, including this. Not till we are lost, in other words, not till we have lost the world, do we begin to find ourselves and realize where we are and the infinite extent of our relations.